Hello, Lee, Gemma.
Hi.
Hiya. How you doing, guys?
Not too bad, so.
I've got the
I've had the lurgy.
Yeah, so I'm drinking lemon dip. You hear rattling.
Good. Well, lem sip, rattling, got that. Well, let's just get straight into it. I'm sitting here on a Saturday morning. It's 10:30. Is this early, guys?
No,
Maybe
it's
not
okay.
too bad.
Oh, good. You're better than me then. But so I'm sitting here with my cup of tea and a copy of the book of the comic Afro Ella from Chromatron Comics in my hand, and I'm talking to Gemma Bedeau. How did I say your surname?
Beddo.
Bedeau. And Lee Fenton Wilkinson, the co-creators of Afro Ella. And I met these guys at Thought Bubble, and well, let's start at the beginning. The first thing I saw as I walked past your stall was there's a black character on the front of a comic. Actually, who is Afroella? What is Afroella? Tell us what Afroella is for people who don't.
I guess she's like our blaxploitation version of Barbarella. I mean, when we started, she kind of was. Well, she had straight hair, didn't she, Lee? And she had a little dog.
Well,
But we
initially,
were
yeah, she had long straight hair and little hot pants and had
and,
rocket boots.
yeah, rocket boots and a little dog. But
Oh,
she
so
said,
she was a straight takeoff of Barbarella when she
yeah,
started.
yeah, she was. And then she sort of grew to having a massive, sparkly afro. And now she's what you see now. I mean, we kind of worked on it and worked on it until it was something that was ours rather than sort of an imitation of what had already come.
Everyone should have a sparkly afro. That's what
Yeah. I thought
they
it'd
kind
be
of look a little bit too like candy floss initially, so it's like pretty
yeah.
thick.
Nice. Okay, talk us through the moment when one of you turned to the other and said, "Let's do a black version of Barbarella." Where did it grow from? What were you sitting around one evening watching Barbarella? Aren't you guys a little bit too young for Barbarella?
I don't know, is
No.
anybody too young for Barbarella?
Well, no.
No. Barbarella is awesome. It's one of the most bizarre and most fun films to watch ever. She just spends most of the time running around in front of a lava lamp. She loved that.
It's genius.
I think we were, I mean, we'd watched Barbarella quite a lot. We decided, for whatever reason, because we were unemployed, that we'd design the new Barbarella film. So we
So you had time on your hands.
yeah, well, we
We had
did.
a fair bit, yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of time, and we went to a little cafe, and we'd watched a few blaxploitation films as well. We'd watched I'm Gonna Get You Sucker,
I love that movie so much.
and we went to a little cafe because again we had so much time on our hands, and we started drinking coffee, and then I think I said to Lee, like, what if we did a blaxploitation version? And then I just wrote Afroella and did some really bad lettering with them saying
Please
Afroella.
tell me you wrote it on a napkin like all tortured artists do.
Almost. It was very close. I thought it was the back of the menu or something like that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But at what point did you take it seriously?
Just kind of evolved over the next few months after that. And then there was a competition on Talent House. Would you two went to another comic? And then we decided, actually, no, let's do Afuella. And then, of course, that never happened at that point. We did another one again. And it kind of sat on the shelf for a little bit. And then I think it was Bristol Comic Con when we finally realised that we heard something about Afuella.
Yeah, then I think we realised that, because we did posters. I mean, we didn't even have a comic at Bristol Comic Con, not this other one we did called A Cautionary Tale and not Afuella. We literally just had a table of posters and this really awesome 3D display. And it was, people started picking up the posters of Afuella and we were looking at it and like giggling and we thought, actually, maybe we should pursue this. And then ages later, we actually got round to starting. And then I started writing it properly, and then we started drawing it. But that was quite a few months later that we actually started the working process of making the comic.
Brilliant, because I mean, one of the things that really, well, this, apart from the fact of seeing a black character on the front of a comic, one of the things that attracted me to your stand was actually it just looked so professional. You had this beautiful 3D display. The colours just kind of leapt out at you and made you go, "Oh, what is that?" And I think with a lot of indie comics, you get people sitting there with a few staple comics, and that doesn't mean the work isn't quality, but your stuff just grabbed attention. So what made you put that kind of effort into a display before you had a comic?
It's probably because that's what we do in our job as well. I mean, Jem's costume design, I'm set design, so we just kind of combined all our efforts into that, basically.
And also, we didn't have a comic. So when we were at Bristol, we kind of thought we needed to do that as well. Like, what can we do? Because we don't have a comic. Let's make this amazing display and then see what people say then.
Brilliant. I also have this theory that in this country, especially when the default position for a character in your head is white, unless stated otherwise, sort of regardless of your background. So before you came up with the word Afroella, was she going to be white or black, or hadn't even occurred to you? Was it just a natural evolution for her to become Afro?
She was always going to be black with Afroella, because we wanted to make a black exploitation character. I got more and more interested in creating this type of character because we were going to go to a fancy dress ball, which we ended up not going to, but I was struggling to find a character to dress as. Why don't I just make one? And it wasn't that there aren't any, because there are loads. It's just that there's not one that everyone would know, apart from the obvious. And I was a bit disappointed, and then Lee was like, yeah, let's do this, because he's full of enthusiasm. And then we realised how much work we'd have to do.
How's that going, the realisation of how much work you've committed yourself to?
I think it's finally sunk in now. It's after the past 2 months, it finally hit us. It's like, actually, no, we can't do this in 4 days.
Yeah, because that's kind of how it happened. I was like, to Lee, obviously, with no knowledge of how long it would take him to actually illustrate these pages, I was like, oh, yeah, it'll just be like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you'll be done. And he was like, no, Gemma, it's going to take longer.
Get real, girl, get real.
Yeah, be sensible. And then for the lettering, I was like, oh, no, it'll just take 3 days, it'll be fine. But no, of course it didn't take 3 days. It took more like 2 weeks to letter it properly. and then some. And then we had time where we were sort of rearranging and juggling the pages and getting rid of the pages we didn't like and adding new pages where we felt the story sort of was a bit stagnant, and it worked out better.
It's one of those things you don't think about, isn't it? You think you've got the story, you've got the art, and then suddenly the actual physical putting it together suddenly becomes a thing in and of itself.
Yeah, we're such novices, we have no idea how long it would take, and not just that, but also how precious we'd be about it. So,
letting go of your baby and putting it out there.
Exactly. We wanted it to be the best it possibly could be, and then they came to a point where we kind of had to let it go and be like, actually, we could work on this for another 2 months, but we've actually got to let it go. And it was mostly Lee telling me, Gemma, seriously, got to let it go now, or we're never going to get it printed.
When we got it to the printers, we still tried to put some revisions in it. It's like, too late, it's printed now, it's done.
give it up, it's not happening. Can I just say, I'm just leafing through it while you're talking, and I absolutely love the way you put the I'm going to get you sucker reference in there. That was pure genius. What's Crobotron? Where did you get that word from?
It was a long production meeting where someone in that meeting used the word chroma like too many times. Way too many times, and it became a bit of a joke between me and Jenna.
It was 40 times, literally in about a two-minute conversation. He was like, chroma key, and we were hysterical, because he didn't need to say, it's basically, because for us, we use chroma key fabric when we're no green screen and blue screen, and that's the term for it, and he just literally, I don't know, something struck in his head, and he went off on this massive tangent about this green chroma key fabric, and me and I were like, in a proper professional production meeting, were hysterical. Trying to hide our laughter.
Well, it stayed in your head.
Yeah.
It's been immortalized forever now.
Yeah.
What are the plans for Afroella? On the front it says limited series 1 of 4.
Yeah. Basically what I thought was that we'd make the first one, we'd make 4 and then see how people felt about it. And I wanted to make it so that we had one story over 4 comics. So it was quite contained, and then if nobody bought it or nobody liked it, we weren't sort of tied to pursuing it. But we actually quite love Afroella, and we think that this limited series will kind of showcase who the character is and what she's about. And then after that, we can sort of maybe do one-shot issues or do a different storyline. So it gave me a bit of the freedom, so I knew I wouldn't have to pursue this particular story for forever. But also it gave, it lets people know that actually we're not just going to make this one comic and then never do it again. There will be four, at least, of Afroella.
Any plans to trade the actual four issues, or is that too far in the future to think about?
We do plan on doing the collected volume with you know additional backup stories and sketches and that kind of thing, but that'll be quite a few months away.
Yeah, quite a few months away.
As these things are. I have a question that I want to know. Do we get to see any more Ellas?
There is a few, yeah.
Yeah, there are quite a few Ellas. We don't know, because, I mean, obviously...
Now you've got to think of names for them all.
Oh, well, that's already done.
Though. Oh! So
that part of the story is done. You have to wait and see. We do have quite a few Ellas that we've created. Because we created a sort of a... We will try to at least create this universe where, you know, loads of different organisations operate, which was quite fun, actually, writing this sort of universe. And I could allowed myself to get a bit carried away as well. So.
Have you guys ever done anything like this before?
Not at all. No.
No.
Amazing. I applaud you. As first efforts go, that's it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. I just want to congratulate you on a beautiful piece of work, actually.
Thank you.
One of you guys said, I think it was you, Lee, you said that you're being sold in foils.
We are, yeah.
How did you manage that one?
That's all down to Gemma's Jedi mind tricks, that one, I think. So.
Yeah. I basically...
You sounded a bit confused yourself as that happened. How did that happen?
Well, we went in with our comic. I mean, we've basically been peddling our wares around London. And we went in with our comic, and as we spoke to a really lovely guy there, he said, and we left it, and then I came back and he hadn't looked at it. So I was like, well, would you like to stock our comic on your shelves? And he's like, well, there's not much space, and, you know, we won't be able to pay you straight away. And I was like, but I think you really like it. And he hadn't looked at it. And I was trying to persuade him gently, and then not so gently, but we think it would do really well there, because there's quite a lot of... it's a small section, but there's quite a lot of really, really amazing small press comics in this tiny section. Mm. And we kind of really wanted to be there. And it's a really good position as well in the store. And then he actually looked through it, and it was when he looked through it, I think, that he thought, actually, maybe it's not a bad idea to have a few copies. And then that was done. He gave me a big, long list of things to do. And, we're in the store. So.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, Gemma, Lee, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on Afroella. I wish you all the best. And, go, girl. And, boy, that didn't really work. Yeah, maybe it's back to bed for me. But, again, thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you like it.
Well, the thing is, you just never... That's the hard thing about going to a convention and looking at all these sort of indie press there is you never know. And you can have a leaf through, but still, you're parting with your hard-earned money and you never know. And the quality can vary quite a lot. So I took it and I was like... And I always get a bit funny about black characters. I think maybe because I'm looking so hard for them, I tend to judge them harder than I should. And the writing, and I just thought that the tone was just right, the pitch was perfect. I absolutely loved it, and I tried to show it to my wife, and she read it. She goes, yeah, it's all right. And I went, don't you get it? And she went, get what? And I was like, I'm gonna get you, sucker. She's like, no, what's that? And I was like, oh my god! I was think of Barbarella. She goes, no, I've never seen it. I was like, oh my. I was sitting there raving about it and she couldn't understand because she'd never seen anything that was like connected. I was like getting so frustrated. So yeah, thanks for driving a wedge in my marriage there. That's
we're just glad. I mean, we did it for ourselves because partly we just thought it'd be fun to do, but we're just really happy that other people have seen it and liked it. And it just, all that means for us is that we can continue to do it. So we're like super pleased. We were so excited. We were like, yay, people are buying it. When the first person bought one, we almost cartwheeled. We were like, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, that means the thing is, if someone gives you money, does that make you comic professionals?
I'd like to use that word, but it's hard. It's hard to kind of equate that with myself, to be honest.
Yeah, well, struggling to do that as well. Like, I can't. I mean, as much as we know we've worked hard on it, I don't know if we're there yet, but I know we will be there soon. I mean, people have started to say that, but I mean, we just. I mean, I still write it in my dining room. And,
Yeah. you're killing the image of the tortured artist. I like the cafe one and the writing on the menu. That was class. All right, guys. Well, I'll leave you to your day. Have a lovely one. Thanks again for your time.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
No problem. Okay, take care.
Bye.